The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. And by the way, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, we'd like to invite you to church this Sunday as we continue our track through the Bible. We're in Genesis chapter 36 and 37, and so we want to invite you to bring your Bible, come on down, be in person, or you can catch us, of course, across America on CSN Radio and on the internet at 10:30 Mountain Time. And so we want to invite you to tune in, learn the Word of God with us. I think you'll really be blessed. Joining me today is special guest and featured speaker that we have here on Sunday on Voice of Truth, Shannon Skolten. Hi, and welcome, Shannon.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me back on.
Always a blessing to have you with us and looking forward to answering some questions with you. Now, today we have a bit of an issue. Our phones are being switched over from our old system to our new system, so we won't be able to take calls today. Now, this breaks my heart because this still is a live program. However, they can text it to us.
They can. We have Facebook, obviously. A lot of you stream and watch us on Facebook and Instagram and Periscope. And we have a list of Facebook questions today. I know that people have been chomping at the bit on social media to answer these questions. And so I think today we're going to go through them and try to answer as many of them as possible for everybody.
Yeah, and I don't think we've ever done this before.
We haven't.
I think usually we always have people call in, and we like the interaction with our callers for all of you. And so to just kind of have this media thing, I don't know.
It's only happening out of necessity. Now, we do try to answer Facebook questions at least once a program, you know.
Yeah.
The producer will put it on the screen, but today, Facebook, it's all you. You get all the love, and nobody
do.
On the phone. So you have to hear our ugly voices for an hour and a half.
Yeah. So, well, we're just glad you're here.
Yeah.
And so looking forward to that. You know, Shannon, a lot of stuff still going on in the elections. And now the Ukraine has announced that Joe Biden is looks like he's going to be under indictment.
Yes.
For quid pro quo, trying to get the president of the Ukraine to fire the prosecuting attorney, which was inviting Joe Biden's son. Now the government in the Ukraine now is going after Joe Biden. Now, this was held by the American news media away from the American people. Again, the American news people, news media never can tell the truth. But this came out just about a week before the election. Tell us about it.
It was on OAN Network, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with. It's a conservative network, nonetheless a Christian conservative network. And the news anchor just describes how, through paperwork that they have found from Ukraine, he is going to be named as a criminal person in this investigation. Now, in the beginning, the document cited that an unnamed American, quote, unnamed American, was a key part in understanding the ramifications of what happened in Ukraine. And now, as it's continued to progress, we have found out through those documents that it is indeed Joe Biden. So it is coming down the pipeline with everything that he's done. We have talked about it. Mike has just professed it from the rooftops that this was quid pro quo, that it was illegal, that his transactions were extremely lawless and vile, and now it seems to be catching up with him, Mike.
Yeah, and this is a real problem, because if he was to win the election, but he's under indictment, I guess
criminal indictment from a foreign country.
Yeah,
I don't know how, you know, I don't think we've ever been in this position as a nation where the president has been criminally or federally indicted from another nation. I haven't.
Yeah.
Not a war crime,
well,
but just.
And it isn't. They said that it's Joe Biden bragging about firing the prosecuting attorney in the Ukraine.
And maybe Monday we'll have that soundbite, because that soundbite you're talking about is actually in the OAN newscast.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, maybe everyone would have a better understanding of what we're talking about, where he admits it and even calls them certain profanities.
Okay, now Joe Biden calls them certain profanities,
yes.
And so we have to bleep it, but we can do that. We're good at doing that. Again, the voter fraud goes on and on.
It seems like it's never going to end.
You know, like Arizona, using Sharpie markers that soak through, which make a blot on the backside, and because there's a blot on the backside, that ballot is considered null. And then you have what was it, 130,000?
139,000 votes in Wisconsin that they found, or I'm sorry, Michigan, that when we went to bed, there was 139,000 that, quote, ballots were found. Now, they didn't say they were Democrat or Republican, but by the time we woke up a few days ago, those were 100% Joe Biden's ballots. And here's the funny thing. If you want to look at it in perspective, no Republican ballots are being found. It just so happens that random ballots are being found, and they're all Democratic.
Joe Biden and not one vote for Trump. This is why we know that it's going on. Now, if you look up voter fraud elections, and there's a couple of loon websites out there, it says the myth of voter fraud. Hey, friends, it isn't a myth. In fact, Heritage Foundation lists dozens and dozens and dozens of people who were caught in the last election and subsequent elections for voter fraud, voting twice. Just the list goes on. It is not a myth. And voter fraud is big time business in America right now. And this is why Trump's not backing down. He shouldn't back down. What I personally feel they need to do is for these five states where there is so much voting irregularity, the FBI needs to get involved. There needs to be absolute, and those states need to be, they need to revote, because they're voting after the election. This is one of the great problems in Pennsylvania right now. You're supposed to have all the votes in by the first Tuesday of November, but now here we are a week later, and they're still counting votes, and even the ones that don't have a postmark on the envelope.
They do need to revote. Here's what I think should happen. I think that all of these battleground states, when you're looking at Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, and so on, they need to completely throw out every single vote, Democrat and Republican, start from scratch. Everybody should have to revote in person, and I think the National Guard should preside over that and monitor the voting process. A lot of people are saying the FBI needs to, and I disagree with that, because they are so Comey corrupt. I mean, just that the FBI, I don't trust them in anything. They're bought and sold. We obviously know that from the Obama administration, which Biden was a part of. They don't have a right to be looking at anything that has to do with voting or superseding anything in regards to that. I think the National Guard, who is subject to the Commander-in-Chief, which is the President of the United States, who should have the best interest of the nation at heart, should be the ones who monitor and preside over all of those battleground states casting new votes.
So, again, crazy stuff that we find. But the idea, the myth of voter fraud is absolutely a joke. It is real. And you ought to see, if you look at all the indictments of people who have been caught and selling votes, all kinds of things. It is crazy. The Heritage Foundation, good place to look at on voter fraud. It'll give you an idea. And list the people by name who are serving the prison sentences. And so I really believe it's the same way. If you get caught voting, you're not supposed to be. But just there's a lot of things. Some poll watchers have watched several of the places back east. And, you know, they see, 1,500 people go into a polling place where you vote. And yet they turn in to the state, 4,000 people voted, but there was only 1,500 people vote. Now, we're not talking about mail-in ballots here. We're just talking about full-on voter fraud. And it's real. And we need to be aware of it. And I know Team Trump is very much aware of it, and he should be because, again, of the stuff that goes on. We actually put up on Facebook to Every Man an Answer where this woman from a polling place where you go to vote was selling ballots, selling the votes, as many as 5,000, anywhere from $5 to $8 a vote. So she was making somewhere around $50,000, $85,000 on this little sweet backdoor deal. But probably she'll end up in jail, hopefully, for about 10 years.
It's sad that we've stooped this low as a nation.
Well, yeah, but that's the only way you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, people have been dead for 20 years. Your dog voting, what's the old saying for them? Vote early, vote often.
That's the way it is.
Well, we can go ahead and go to some of these questions that have been sent in over the last few weeks. And Shannon, what's the first one here? Is this Donna?
No, the Michael? First one is from Michael. Michael Choite. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Michael, and I apologize if I butchered it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the question is, Romans 13, 1 through 7 and 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13 have both been used against me in discussions I have had with individuals who think that my not wearing a mask is not Christian-like. Do you have any insight as to how Christians might walk this line,
Mike? Very, very hard question, because again, when we've seen so much evidence that masks do not prevent the virus. Now, one of the things masks will do is if you're hawking phlegm, it'll corral those little boogers. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, other than that, it will not protect you from, and even if it catches the heavier phlegm, it doesn't catch the microbes that go right through the mask and into your nose and into your throat. So masks are really not effective. And, you know, Shannon, you've been in the medical field, and tell us your perspective of this. Right on the box, it says does not prevent communicable diseases. And yet, they're talking about these different states that have mandatory mask laws and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of crazy. Your thoughts?
You know, honestly, I think that we have a couple problems here. One, masks, like Mike said, do not prevent communicable disease, which means the spreading of certain diseases where the molecular structure of the disease or the ailment, whether it be aerosol, airborne, or whatnot, can still pass through the fibers of the mask. In other words, the mask is not thick enough or interwoven enough to prevent that molecule to come through to affect you.
Yeah, I heard it said it's like trying to stop a Kansas dust storm with a picket fence.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It doesn't
make sense. Now, granted, it will help from purulent discharge, which is mucus and other things like that, pus and things that can actually touch you and affect you, from seeping through because it creates a barrier. But actually stopping upper respiratory diseases or diseases that affect any part of your upper GI or your upper respiratory doesn't work. For many reasons, we use masks in medicine to help prevent bloodborne pathogens from transferring from one person to another and from one person to an animal or vice versa. So there is a place in them for medicine, but in the general context of us using them, we use them in sterile environments when we're wearing surgical gowns and hats and masks and gloves, and we're completely sterile in a sterile field doing a surgical procedure, or even during a semi-sterile procedure that might be in an exam room with a patient. But they don't work. And I think what we've seen here with this mask mandate and the issues we're facing, it's literally a form of compliance. It's a muzzle that the American news media has forced down our throats that has been perpetuated from the government to muzzle us. And it's a form of how willing we are going to be to comply with whatever they want to do in their tyrannical ways or the draconian laws that they want to pass. How many people are going to comply? How many states are going to concede and do what the federal government or maybe the CDC asks us to do? I think that that is the barometer they're using, because Fauci and everybody else from the CDC 110% knows the ramifications of what they're doing. They know the masks are not going to work. First we hear that COVID can live on surfaces for 7 hours, then we hear it can live for 7 days, then we can hear it lives for 7 minutes, then we hear it doesn't live on plastics or woods, but then we hear it lives on, granites and natural surfaces. I mean, it's on, and it's impossible to know how to govern ourselves appropriately with this, quote, virus. I think that we need to use common sense, and I think we need to go back to square one and say, obviously, nobody knows the ramifications of COVID. So we have to be intelligent. We have to just make sure we're clean. We should always wash our hands after we use the restroom or when we touch our cell phone or touch the floor. You know, you don't want your kids licking the floor at Walmart when you're walking. I mean, that's probably not a good idea. And we maintain, you know, healthy hygiene. And we go about our lives and we allow our immune systems to do what God created them to do, to build immunity. They knew by wearing masks it was going to inhibit our ability to breathe. It was going to cause other issues like pneumonia and other upper respiratory issues from having them on, create decreased oxygen, increased headaches, issues with being able to focus in school for children. They know all the side effects and the ramifications of what they've tried to enact, yet they still do it, and they still try to force people to wear these masks or what I consider these muzzles. As a believer, I think that we walk a fine line, Mike, with doing what we need to do to be cognizant of our brother or sister in love. Mm-hmm. And allowing ourselves to be controlled, lied to, and manipulated for deceitful purpose. And I think that this gentleman has been criticized and ridiculed for
Michael
him not
has,
wanting,
yes.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Michael, for not wanting to wear a mask. But, you know, honestly, I don't wear them either.
Yeah.
I can't blame the guy. I mean, when you know what you know, my son, I don't let him wear a mask. I don't want to inhibit his immune system. I want him to be able to have an immune system to fight things off. I think secluding us in a house for 3 or 4 months as they did, where we couldn't have any interaction, not only did irreputable mental damage to people, but emotional damage. And then when we're finally able to get out, they're like, look, it's worse. The numbers are spiking, not because we went out in public, but because you destroyed our immune system by making us bathe in, you know, rubbing alcohol, you know, and not being able to interact with people.
Well, and there's a little bit more to it than that, and this is where the problems come in. As an example, they had mandatory mask laws. Unless you're rioting in the streets, then you didn't have to have one on unless you were trying to hide your identity. And this is where it gets a bit of a sticky widget. Because is it people control or disease control? And I believe that it's people control. Because again, if they were as worried about this, and I watched the riots on TV and them running up and down the streets, yet not one person was arrested for not having their mask as they're throwing their firebombs. Now, I've got to say, what's wrong with this? And again, I don't know what's wrong with Oregon. Your cities are burning and you still vote the same stupid way you always have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thank God for the Christians that are there. But I'll tell you, when you look at a broken record and you keep drinking the same Kool-Aid and it keeps killing you, maybe you ought to stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Something that makes you go, So anyway, I think wise as serpents, harmless as doves, wear them when you got to, but when you don't wear them.
And honestly, if you have an issue with wearing a mask, just try to refrain from going out. There's nothing you need at Smith's that you can't order, you know, and pick up through a drive-thru or have delivered to your house or order something on Amazon with contactless delivery. I mean, there's ways you can be cognizant and emotionally compliant with your friends without causing a problem as a believer, but I can't blame you, Michael.
Yeah. So, Michael, we hope that answers it for you. Now, let's go on. What's our next question?
We have Vernon Carl Browning on Facebook who writes a few questions, actually. There's three questions in this. But the first one is, what are both of your opinions on the church that doesn't have a cross on the building or near the pulpit for the congregation to see? That's his first question, Mike. Your thoughts?
I don't believe that the cross is a magic juju. I believe that, again, our hearts are what Jesus died for. Now, it's always great if there's a cross in the building or something like that. I think it's good. But to say that a church isn't right on with the Lord because they don't maybe have a cross or a crucifix or something like that, I think we become more, we can lean towards kind of idolatry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that don't believe. But it doesn't say displaying a cross is foolishness. It says the preaching of the cross is foolishness. So I have to go back to that. Now, there are some religions that just abhor the cross. Mormon Church, for instance, they don't have a cross anywhere in their building. They have a spire on top of their churches. Sometimes they're painted black. Really, really creepy. But the thing is that, you know, we have crosses around in our building, but it isn't a magic symbol. I think a lot of times we like to put our faith in things rather than in God. And again, I believe that if a person's really born again, I think that really you know what the cross means, and it's foolishness to those that are perishing. But again, it is the preaching of the cross, not displaying the cross, that makes a difference. Your thoughts?
Sorry. Wow, that was unexpected. I agree with everything you said. I think that we get hung up on religion. And when we look at, rosary beads, or we look at crosses, or, little statues of, the saints, and how people feel like, oh my gosh, you knocked over the statue, you desecrated it. We get caught up in, like Mike said, with idolatry. And I think it's, if the church is preaching the appropriate doctrine, has good exegesis of the scripture, there's worship, there's discipleship, there's fellowship, it doesn't matter if they have a cross or not. I think that's our own hang up that we need to get rid of as Christians, that there's certain things that have to occur for a quote church to be a church. And just to hone in that point, a church is not necessarily a building with four walls that's in a shopping center where people have to congregate to meet, to worship and meet God. The church is the body of Christ, the people meeting in a place, whether that be your home, whether that be a basement, whether that be in the backseat of a truck, just talking and hanging out and dwelling on the things of the Lord. That is the church.
So I hope that answers that question for you. Again, I think people want to, I've seen this happen with the Bible. You don't set anything on the Bible, which I don't think is a good idea either. But the thing is that, that's the Bible. That's God's word. Now, we never read it, and we use it to store $2 bills in and locks of baby hair, but we never read it. But don't set anything on the Bible. And I think that anything can become something that can supplant your faith. This is what happened in the Old Testament. And we remember they had continued to worship the serpent on the pole, the brass serpent. And we remember the prophet broke it, and he said, Nehushtan, a thing of brass. Yet at one time, this meant something. But we like to look at formulas. We like to look at the past rather than what is God doing right now. And again, I think a lot of times, and I think of all the people that I've led to the Lord in stores and on the street, and there wasn't a cross anywhere to be found. But the cross is that, again, it's the preaching of the cross. What happened on that cross? That Jesus died for the sins of the world. And again, I think that that's where we have to go with it. Am I against not having a cross? No. Am I for having? I believe if you got one in your church, great. If you don't have one, put one in it. But it doesn't make the building any more holy. It doesn't make the people in the building any more holy. It's all about our personal relationship with Christ.
Awesome. Now, Vernon Carl Browning has a second question and a third. His second question is, what are your opinions on joining or being a member of a church? And where is it in the Bible that we are to join or become an actual member of a church?
Well, as far as joining a lot of people say an organized religion, an organized church. I don't know, but I can tell you this. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians about a guy that was messing around with his stepmother. And he said, put this guy out of the church that the devil can work him over, that his soul would be saved. Now, I don't know how organized the church was, but I can tell you this. It was organized enough that Paul said you could get kicked out of it. And I think that's fairly significant. Also, we find in Revelations 2 and 3, seven particular churches that Jesus wrote to, all with different issues. Now, again, the different issues that you find in this, in Revelation 2 and 3, are very important to those particular churches. So for somebody to say, well, I'm not part of a church. I'm just footloose and fancy free. I do my own thing. I'm a self-contained Winnebago. I just go where I want to go. I got the little poodle. I think that's a problem, because we are told to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. And I believe in forsaking ourselves, I believe we cut ourselves off from what God wants to do through others to me and for me, and what I can do in Jesus for them as well. So I believe that the Assembly of the Saints is important. The church, the early church, was organized to the point where you could be removed from it. And we find that in Revelation 2 and 3 that there is at least seven churches that were mentioned, all with different issues that were pertinent to them that Jesus called them to repent of. And so if there was no one there, if it wasn't really a church at all, then where does Jesus write to them saying, you need to repent of these things, since there wasn't really anything organized? No, it was organized enough. Jesus could address the issues. And so I hope that answers number two.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on spiritual Winnebago and Footloose and Fancy Free. You know, to be honest with you, people use those excuses because they just don't like fellowship and they don't like people.
They don't like commitment.
They don't want commitment. Yeah, they don't want to have, and they also don't want to be held accountable for anything. They don't want to bear their issues to somebody and someone really know what's going on in their life. They'd rather just live their life in secret, not have accountability, and make that as an excuse to not attend church.
Freewheeling for Jesus.
Freewheeling for Jesus. Last question that Carl has before we go to break, Mike, is what translation of the Bible should be taught behind the pulpit? And is there a difference between a pastor who just reads from notes and doesn't bring a Bible on the pulpit?
And you know, everybody has a different way of teaching. I like to memorize what I'm going to teach on. If I try to use notes, I am all over the road. It is not a good thing. Some people have to have notes. Very well-known, prominent pastors that I know, they have those. And I personally like the Old King James and the New King James to teach from. I have a little trouble with the Bible versions, the NIV and these others that are based on the Alexandrian text. I would much rather be based on the Textus Receptus. I think it's a better and more accurate. But as far as if a pastor uses notes or whatever, you know, I pray that God would inspire him to know what to write down on that piece of paper for Sunday morning. So I think that's the way we can leave that.
I think so.
And with that, we are coming up on a break. We don't want anyone to go away. When we come back, we'll have more To Every Man an Answer. So remind you once again, stop by our Facebook site, Facebook To Every Man an Answer. A lot of great information there. We'll be right back.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
This is the Christian Satellite Network, broadcasting on almost 400 stations throughout the U.S., including multiple stations in Arizona alone. You can listen in great Arizona cities like Bullhead City, Phoenix, Yuma, Prescott, Cottonwood, and many more stations throughout Arizona and across the nation. A full station list is at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
A lifeline for those searching. This is CSN.
Hi, Hi, we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Shannon Skolden. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We know our phones are down right now. We're switching over from an old system to a new system. The old system is about 20 years old. Buttons don't work. Some of the buttons done falled off, and we don't know where they are. But the
and
thing
that is not a joke.
But we have a new system going in, so we'll be able to serve you that much better. We're looking forward to that. And so we should have all this changed over today, so Monday we'll be ready to go. And once again, I'd like to give you the invite to come to the River Christian Fellowship on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in person or 10:30 over the air and on the internet as we go through the book of Genesis. Jesus quoted more from the book of Genesis than any other book, giving it great credibility. And the reason why is because it's how we all got here. So once again, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, we'd like to see you at River Christian Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. I know you will be blessed. We're going to go back to our written questions that came in on the internet. And this one is from Ori Allen. And here's the question. In Revelation 16:2, will women have sores or just the men who have the mark of the beast? I believe it is for anyone that has taken the mark of the beast. Sometimes the Bible used the word men or mankind as a general statement, but it covers all of us, men and women. So those that take the mark of the beast, Revelation 16:2, and the reason why this is there is because we're now entering in Book of Revelation chapter 16, the bowl, the final judgments upon mankind for a Christ-rejecting world, and God dealing with his nation of Israel that last final seven-year period of time. Now, will it affect women and men? Yes. And the reason why, evidently, there's something wrong with the mark. We find that back in Revelation chapter 13, and it says a mark, name, or a number on your hand or on your forehead. So imagine having a oozing, grievous, and actually in the original language in the Greek, it indicates like a cancerous oozing sore running down your face or on your hands would be really, really bad. Now, we do know many times the medical association has rushed through drugs, rushed through programs that have not been good for men. There was a drug they rushed through in the early 50s, and many people in Canada, as well as the United States, ate this drug. Women did. Supposed to calm them down, all those kind of, created terrible birth defects. And it was not tested. It was immediately removed when they realized what was going on, but it wasn't tested. Now, this is the same problem I have with any vaccine concerning the COVID. And the reason why is because we do know a couple of things. One, it's a man-made disease, so it doesn't act like a natural disease. Number two, we know it morphs. In other words, the COVID of January is probably not the COVID of today. And so it's going to require a different vaccine, as this thing is smart and it morphs around the preventative measures that men are trying to do. But here's the problem. You take a vaccine that's not been tested over a period of time. Yeah, it might prevent COVID, but it might give you liver cancer. It might prevent COVID, but it might cause blindness. We don't know, but this evidently is something along that line that we find Revelation 13, where they had to take the mark or they couldn't buy or sell without it. But by Revelation 16, those that did take this mark have real serious health problems. Your thoughts?
I think that that was a perfect explanation of that, that even children will get that oozing sore.
Anyone.
Anybody who gets the mark of the beast. And, you know, honestly, I know we get a lot of questions, Mike, in regards to whether we think this COVID vaccine with its trace technology and the companies that have been, you know, I guess, blessed in their mind financially, but cursed and for us with the ability to make this vaccine, they are concerned that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And very much so, anything that enters your body that will either change your DNA or cause you can't get it without having to buy, you can't buy or sell or do anything without getting it, can be considered the mark of the beast. And here's why: when they do vaccinate people, and there will come a time when things like that have to happen, they do leave usually an identification marker, a tattoo. For instance, in medicine, when we, you know, maybe spay or neuter a pet that's a, you know, in veterinary medicine, and it's feral, will mark it by clipping the ear, or tattooing it, or leaving a tattoo on the abdomen to show something internally was done that we can't see outwardly. Nonetheless, that could still be the case with the mark of the beast. It can be a vaccine, something that will change your DNA, something that you need that mark in order that you might be able to buy and sell to have that, to go into public. It doesn't necessarily mean that the mark itself allows you to buy and sell, but the fact that you even have the mark allows you to go into public and buy and sell. So we want to keep those things in mind when other people get really dogmatic. You know, it's a barcode, it's an RFID chip, it's a vaccine. Remember that anything around that premise can be what the mark of the beast is and what it means, Mike.
So I hope that answers it for you. Again, I think we want to just be very cautious about those kinds of things. But I do believe that it does reference not only men, women, and children as well. So I hope that helps.
Absolutely. We have Sandy Maldenhar, and her question from Facebook is, I recently learned that the pastor of my church does not believe in the rapture. Is the rapture biblical, or is it just subject to interpretation, Mike?
I have a real problem with people that don't believe in the rapture for a lot of reasons. One, you have to stop teaching the Bible. Because it's all the way through the Bible, whether you look at Enoch, who walked with God and was taken, or whether you look all the way through the even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24. It says, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage. And what happened was, the Bible says it'll be like that. We know the rapture comes, and then what follows is the judgment of God. In the time of Noah, it was eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. The ark door closed, and then the judgment of God, the flood, came upon the world. Now, this is not the second coming. The second coming of Christ, as we find clearly outlined in Revelation 16, 17, 18, mere survival is all man is going to be able to have. The Bible says every living thing in the sea is dead. The waters have all turned to blood. All the grass is burnt up. And so it isn't, you know, eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. It's mere survival. Now, again, somebody say, well, our pastor doesn't believe in it. Then what in the world do you do with 1 Thessalonians 4:17? And I'll just read it in 18. It says, after that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now here it is, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore comfort or encourage one another with these words. If there's no rapture, how can you encourage one another with these words? Well, our pastor just doesn't believe in it. Oh, okay. Well, that means that you're going to have to stop teaching a lot of Corinthians, a lot of Thessalonians, a lot of what Jesus said. And then you have another problem. Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. He didn't say what hour you're going to die, what hour your Lord is going to come. So I would not believe a man, whether he calls himself a pastor, priest, pope, or hootin-dooey, doesn't matter to me. Jesus said, I know he's that figure in the Bible that everybody doesn't really like. But anyway, if you go by what Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. But wait, there's more. Void, we're prohibited by law. But there's more. If you go to Matthew chapter 24, the last five verses or so, you'll find there Jesus talked about a servant. He said, in that day, that servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. The Bible says he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. He beats his fellow man. It tells me he was a violent drunk. The Lord of that servant will come. Now we have an issue here. We have the man saying that my Lord delays his coming, and he parties down. And then it says the Lord of that servant will come when he's not expecting him, probably because he's drunk, and give him his portion with the hypocrites. When you go to Luke chapter 21, you find the guy gets sawn in two. Now, the point is this. If the guy knows that the Lord is going to come at any moment, And the master can come at any moment, according to what Jesus said in again, Matthew chapter 24. Then some man calling himself a pastor saying, oh, well, we don't believe in the rapture. Or the rapture is right at the end of the tribulation. We go up and then we come back down. And they got some screwy formula figured out because they just simply won't read God's word. Because really, it's not about God's word. It's all about you, baby. Use your magic faith words. Blab it, grab it, visualize it. It's all yours. Air conditioning and tinted glass. It's all yours. That's the problem. And so this is what we find in the world right now and what's being taught in churches. They will not teach the Bible. Oh, they'll teach on tithing. They'll teach on loving one another. Can't get enough love. Well, you know, the problem is the Bible says we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not just the ones we like. And the rest of God's word will correct heresy, like going around and saying there is no rapture. How in the world, again, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage, comfort one another with these words. If it doesn't exist, why would it be a comfort? Their logic never makes any sense because they don't follow the Bible. You know, I've always taught people this. When you go into church, you shouldn't have to put your brain in neutral. There's evidence for your faith. There's evidence for what God's word says. And if you're in a cult, there isn't. The great River Sidon in the Book of Mormon that flows northward. Do you know there's no great River Sidon? There's no great river period in the North America that flows northward? No, they all flow either west or south or east. This is one of the great problems. And especially in the down around the House of Nauvoo, according to the Book of Mormon, where do you get these great rivers that are flowing northward? Right, you got to kick your brain into neutral. All these things they can't find. Well, the American Indians are really descendants of the Jewish race. Yeah, that's right, the Jaredites and the Barges, because God wouldn't use a murderer like Moses. Well, the Jaredites peeled off of the other tribes, and they got in barges and floated across from the Nile River clear over to Georgia. Yeah, a furious wind, the Book of Mormon says, blew them for over 360 days. Well, if you do the math and you figure 24 hours a day, the furious wind didn't even blow a mile an hour. Got to put your brain in neutral. Joseph Smith got these tablets, and he gives the dimensions of them weighing well over 400 pounds. And it says that he picked them up and he ran with them. Got to put your brain in neutral. This is the problem. When you come across things that don't make sense, even in the Christian church, this is where we have to reject it. And again, whether you look at isms, Mormonism, all these other things, or whether you look at Calvinism in the church, it's all the same junk. Otherwise, it would be called Christianity. Novel concept, don't you think? But that's what it is. If it is real Christianity, Jesus, the Bible says, God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But not the Calvinists. Oh, no. No, you are predestined to go to hell. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Just because God knows the beginning from the end doesn't stop every one of us from living our lives the way that we choose to do that. And so always remember, if you're alive, you can hear this. You can go to heaven right now by accepting Christ as your Savior. Hope that helps.
That's a very good answer. So long and short of it, if your church doesn't teach the rapture, probably would want to find another church.
Go run away.
And there's a lot of churches that don't teach the Book of Revelation or anything that they consider scary. Zechariah.
What I'm finding, if you got a church that says, well, we're a New Testament church, we don't even crack the Old Testament, run. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus rebukes people like that, where he said, when he was being tempted by Satan, when he had fasted, Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was referring to the Old Testament. And so when people come along and say, oh, well, no, we're a New Testament. No, you're not. You're not nothing. Because you've left out the entirety of the Bible. 66 books. And it's not up to any pastor, bishop, priest, pope, anybody else to say what scripture we're going to look at. It all works together. Again, Jesus quoted more from the book of Genesis than any other book. Why did he do that? To give it great credibility. That's why we need to teach from it. Well, we don't really teach from the Old Testament, especially Genesis, because, you know, we have a lot of evolutionists that go to our church and we don't want to offend them. Because there goes the nickels and noses. Oh, man, we can't do that. You know, we built this big edifice we call a church. And we got to pay for it because, you know, we got the bank hounding at the door. So we don't want to offend anybody. We'll make a message of, well, Jesus light. That's right. All the trimmings of something right, but no word of God. Isn't that weird what the Bible says? He said in the last days, they will not listen to sound doctrine. So again, we have to be about our Father's business. So important. Your thoughts?
Agreed. Let's go to the next question. I can't add to anything.
I didn't go over these either. I didn't look at these beforehand. So.
No, he didn't. This is all rapid fire Mike. Facebook Friday, rapid fire Mike.
So
the next question, actually, let's continue with the rapture theme here. Jason Child says, from Facebook, so what happens when a husband and wife, both believing in Jesus, are raptured together? Will they be married in heaven? I know we've gone over this multiple times, Mike, but give them your rundown of that. You're smirking.
Gary Paxton years ago wrote a song called Will There Be Hippies in Heaven or Will Cowboys Keep Them Away? Now, has nothing to do with anything. Interesting song. But here's the point. No, we will not be married in heaven to each other. But we will be married in heaven. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's something a lot of people in the church miss. They fault sometimes the Mormon theology of being sealed in the temple for time and eternity. But Jesus said concerning that when they came to him and they said, Jesus, there was a man and he married a woman and he died and his brother married the same woman and he died. And then his brother married the same woman and he died. Now, this follows the Old Testament Levitical law concerning descendants, property rights, and all these kinds of things. And he died, and so on and so forth until all seven brothers were married to her. Then they said to Jesus, in heaven, whose wife will she be? And Jesus said, you err not knowing the scripture. For you're neither married nor given in marriage, but as the angels are. So first of all, Jesus cites, you err not knowing the scripture. So people that teach that you're married in heaven err because they don't know the word of God. Jesus Christ said that. I don't care whether Jesus Christ's name is on your building out in front. Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven, period. Now, remember, all of them posed the question to Jesus concerning this marriage. So Jesus didn't say, oh, no, unless they were married in the temple. No. It was recognized by Jesus that they were married, okay? We want to establish that. Because I don't like the little sloppy cult loopholes that somehow get entered into a lot of this stuff. No, Jesus recognized that they were married. But he said this, but you err not knowing the scripture. Now, I don't know how this woman was able to go through all seven brothers. She might have been just a terrible cook. I don't know how she was able to off all of them, but she did. But he said, you err not knowing the scripture. But here is the good news for all of us. There is a longing inside all of us to belong. We just do. Whether it be the Corvette Club, whether it be the Civitans, whether it be to our spouse, we all have a longing to be married because we want to belong to something bigger than ourselves. The good news is the Bible says you will be married in heaven to Jesus Christ forever. The Bible calls us his bride. I like that. So in other words, though I won't have a earthly bride in heaven with me, according to what Jesus said, but I will be married in heaven to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's going to be one great time.
We get that question a lot, surprisingly.
Yeah, we do.
We do. But hopefully that helps. I know that a lot of people think that that's a sad thing. They lament thinking that that can't be with their spouse in heaven. But when you're married to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's He's who you're married to. That's what we all long for. So there should be no reason for us to be sad. But other than that, we should rejoice in the fact that that is the truth. And that is what the Word of God says. The next question we actually have is from Brenda Whitney. Brenda, a longtime listener on Facebook streaming, says, "The pastor of my church has been saying things that raise red flags for a couple of years and now has this new age flavor that he is preaching. This is all so common. Please tell me what your take is on this."
Well, simply run. As I've already said, and what Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not new age teaching or anything else. All paths lead to God.
Well, this is a
I'm cool. You're cool. We're all cool. Let's all groove together. Cuckoo, ca-choo.
I was waiting.
No, you know. But the thing is, the problem is that this is what we're getting now. We're not getting God's word in church. You want to know why the church is so goofed up? You want to know why Christians can vote for candidates that believe in abortion? It's because they don't hear God's word anymore. America and the church at large has become apostate. You're not hearing line upon line, precept upon precept, as the way the book of Isaiah says we're to learn God's word. No, again, you're hearing pastors' favorite topics. Love, true love. I had to do that. Money, got to give all your money. We like money. Yeah, we do. You can love Jesus if you want to or not want to, but we want your money. This is the problem. And you see it over and over again, the compromising church for nickels and noses. And you'd be better off to be in a small church that teaches God's word than these big churches that are just tickling, scratching people's ears. That's what the Bible says. In the last days, they will not adhere to sound doctrine, but they will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does an itching ear want? To be scratched. And we have to remember that. Your thoughts?
There's a lot of churches that this is probably going to offend a lot of people that we've seen in the public eye recently, from Bethel to Hillsong and other giant churches around the world, nonetheless the United States, that have been diving more into the new age, into the occult, to reach a younger generation. And when you start blurring the lines...
Why don't you talk real quickly a little bit about when we mention new age, because somebody goes, "Well, I don't know what the new age is."
Well, I can explain very clearly.
So why don't you... Because many people might say, "Well, our church isn't into that. We just believe all paths lead to God," you know, or something.
Well, the new age is a very self-satisfying... thought process or form of spirituality where you can essentially ascend and be your own God. That's the premise of the New Age movement, obtaining spirituality through enlightenment and being enlightened and meeting that path, whatever you need to do to meet that path, through energy, through life forces, through chakras. And that dives into the occult when you start seeing the quote New Age realm cross into the church, but nonetheless just in general. And it starts going into divination, and it starts going into tarot card readings and prophetic words being spoken over people that come from spirits, and these spirits have names. And you see this in the church a lot, where the spirit blank told me this, and they're saying it's an angel, but essentially it's a demon and it's demonic. And so this has crept into the church in many ways, even going back to Eastern practices like yoga in churches, and the kundalini spirit, and opening chakras, and meditation. These are all forms of new age enlightenment, becoming one with yourself, your third eye. And it's just, it's so blatant, but we don't see it as blatant because the church for so many years didn't teach anything in regards to what people should know not to be involved with. And it's a wonderful thing, and I'm not saying anything bad about a church 110% focused on Jesus. But we've done the church a disservice by not explaining and telling them things of the occult or the new age, so they can recognize when wolves come in sheep's clothing into the church. So this has crept in, and in some churches like Bethel, they have tarot cards, actual tarot cards that are Christian tarot cards, which they use as a form of divination in the church. And they appeal to this young generation who was brought up on Harry Potter, who was brought up on Dragon Ball Z and energy, and all of these things. And so it resonates with them, and they create a false sense of God and a false Holy Spirit through music and through using certain skills that they have. This is not something that is not common. This is extremely common. If your church is diving into meditation, yoga, Christian Enlightenment, talking about chakras, the third eye, speaking the names of certain angels that are giving them prophetic words, you are diving into the occult. There is no gray area. That church is totally off base, not Christian. The Holy Spirit is not there, and you need to run for the hills. That is a cult. And we see that a lot. And so if you see anything of even positive confession is good to an extent, but if it's not 110% backed by the Word of God and there's not teaching of Scripture, then you need to run because it's taking you down a very dangerous, dark, bad path.
Yeah, you know, in 1997, the Harry Potter series came out. And as soon as evangelical churches saw what it was, they knew this was elementary indoctrination of witchcraft for young people. We all recognize that. I knew what it was. Now, today, people believe that Harry Potter is actually a Christian thing. And I absolutely over the top bad. And it spells and chants and all these kinds of things, magic, all this stuff. And, oh, no, it's all about Jesus. No, it's not. It is full on witchcraft. That's what it was when it came out. That's what it is today. And yet we find people who are illiterate concerning spiritual things thinking these things are good. So, no, it's crept in. The new age is here. But we want to, again, teach the Word of God. Jesus, Paul said, when you teach, teach God's word. And somebody said one time, well, what else would you teach? Somebody at a pastor's conference, and he said, a lot of junk. That's what we're getting anymore. Go where God's word is taught, line upon line, precept upon precept. We'll be back for more to Every Man an Answer right after this. Don't go away.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls. The Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part three of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Shannon Skolton. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Shannon hosts a program on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock here called Voice of Truth. And she interviews many top figures in the United States government about what's going on, from the political world to the subversion that's going on within our nation. And so I think all of us have seen a lot of this that's been happening. And Shannon, who's on the program with you this Sunday?
This Sunday, I think that we are going to re-air, potentially, the David Claussen interview that I did discussing a biblical worldview, and because we touch on a lot of things that are imperative to what's happening now in this election, and it's so important for people to truly get a hold of what is being said in that interview to understand what is really going on, the spiritual warfare that we are dealing with, that we're seeing, and the fact that we don't know who our president's going to be. And I think that when we go through this interview and you listen to it, you'll have a full understanding of why.
You know, it's really interesting, too, because you know, when you mentioned that, I heard a statistic by the Barnard Group saying that less than 10% of Christians today call themselves Christians have a Christian global view of the world. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a Christian global view of the world and a secular?
So the biblical worldview that Christians or any evangelical can have, Christians is a very wide term nowadays, and it's sad that I don't like using that term, but true evangelical, Bible-believing Christians should have, is that the Word of God should govern everything that we do. In fact, not only govern us individually, but be used in our government to govern the people. Because there's morality that is built into the Word of God. It shows us how to rule righteously and justly, to have even scales and balances, how to deal with things from capital punishment to disciplining our children and more. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. But the secular worldview is a very satanic worldview that it's governed under the premise of what's good for me is good for me, and I'm going to satisfy my flesh through the way that I vote and the things that I want that I think will benefit me in my immediate situation. It's a very I selfish way of governing an entire community in the world. And so when we see that starting to be enacted and we see that those laws are starting to be passed, when you look at the LGBTQ community and the adoption of pedophilia, all of these things have to do with me, my wants, my desires, my sexual needs, my preference, what I want to be called, and it takes all the focus off of God and governing as a community in fellowship with one another as a nation, and it puts it all directly on self. And when we're self-governed, we lose the sense of truth. Truth is not relative. My truth cannot be my truth if my truth says your truth is a lie, because then whose truth is really true? It doesn't even make sense, does it? And that's why we have to get back to that big biblical worldview, that what's in the inherent Word of God is how we need to govern and operate ourselves.
Which were the founding principles of our country.
And God was the father of our nation. And so it's about getting back. When you hear people talking about being an originalist, which is the new term, it means being a constitutionalist, going back to what we were founded on. What were the principles we were founded on? Why did we start this nation to even begin with? Why did we leave England? What was the premise? What were we searching for? Why is that important for all people to adapt and hold tightly in their heart?
And what, where did our forefathers come from where they put in writing in the Second Amendment the right to keep and bear arms? Because they knew tyrannical government always wants to overthrow the people.
It wasn't for hunting.
It's not for hunting.
They had to hunt anyway to live. So it had nothing to do with that.
No, it was to keep government honest. Right now, we see our government completely anything but honest.
Well, you ask why we haven't gone, why don't we understand as evangelicals what that biblical worldview is? And that goes back to this previous question that we just read. If the New Age and occultism is creeping into the church, and we're moving away from the inherent things of the Word of God, and we're moving to the things of satanic rituals and symbolism and ideologies and thoughts, and we're governing our churches that way, how the heck are we going to govern our nation? You know, again, how we vote is what's the barometer of the hearts of the people. What is in our heart manifests itself in who we put in office, from Congress to Senate to the president, and so on. And so we need to get back to understanding what the Word of God is, and that is why it is so imperative, everybody, that you go to a Bible-believing teaching church that goes line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so you understand doctrine. You know, because everyone can take their little, spin their human spin on things that they might consider gray in the Word of God. There's areas, even in Calvary chapels and churches that I grew up in, there's differing opinions on things like Genesis 6 or so on and so forth. They don't change your salvation. But when things are being changed inherently that dictate salvation, that dictate your understanding of governing yourself in a marriage, in a relationship, at work, as a people or as a nation, it's scary. Nothing that we do should be about us. It's all about the kingdom of God and what we do for Christ Jesus as salt and light on the earth and how we're supposed to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, Mike.
Amen. So, next question.
Next question. This is an interesting one. It's actually quite fun. Lendro Abreu states in his question, do you think that aliens or another being helped with the creation of the pyramids or other ancient structures as we have read in previous Christian books? Mike?
I don't believe that. I believe that we, for some reason, think that created man, Adam and Eve, Abel, Cain, all these people were just, just climbed out of a cave with a nail through a log scratching their back. I think they were highly intelligent. The Bible says that Adam walked with God. Now, if he named all the animals, I think that man was really, really smart. I don't think that there was aliens. In fact, what's really amazing, if you really look at all of NASA, everything, they have spent billions of dollars going to Jupiter, going to Mars, radio telescopes, everything. They have never found any signs of life anywhere in our entire solar system. They've never found life anywhere but here. Now, that to me is very unusual. They have, again, giant radio telescopes listening to see if they can pick up something or, Chuck Berry. I don't know what they're trying to listen for, but whatever they're doing, they're listening for something out there. And the point is that they don't find it. They go to the moon. They didn't even find a microscopic bug. They've been to Mars. Nothing. Nothing anywhere. Only here on this earth. So I believe, again, concerning the whole idea of aliens, is that I believe it was simply just human beings before the flood were quite intelligent. I believe that there are alien beings on this planet. We know them to be demonic forces because they didn't originate here. But I don't believe they came from Betelgeuse or some other star someplace because of a lot of logistical reasons. Again, I believe God's a logical God. And when you would look at the amount of energy that you would need to propel a spacecraft over literally hundreds, thousands of light years away, it's impossible. So I don't believe that what we have seen comes from outside our own planet here, but I believe it can be in the demonic world. I believe that, again, man before the flood was highly developed. And what we find, I was just reading an article the other day over in England or Europe where they found this whole city underwater. Now, this would have probably changed after the flood that was once dry, now is underwater. But whatever it was, streets, sidewalks, all this kind of stuff, hundreds of feet underwater. So I don't believe that really man before the flood was a bunch of idiots. I think they were very developed, very smart, and again, we don't completely know all that entails. And when you look at the dimensions and you look at the things concerning the Great Pyramid, not the smaller ones, I believe perhaps the Egyptians built those, but the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, both of those, I believe, were built not by the Egyptians, but built before the flood. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. On the Great Sphinx, there is extensive water damage. It is not horizontal, it is vertical. The water damage is up and down from like a giant flood. The second thing, when you see the Sphinx, it was probably a bear or something, because the head of the Sphinx is in so much better shape than the rest of the Sphinx. The head of the Sphinx is completely disproportional to the rest of the carving, the rest of the image. It is much smaller. You might call him a pencil neck geek. But that's what really you find. And it is in much better shape because it was carved after the flood. The Great Pyramid as well. We don't know even to this day how they built it. And with all of our technology, we just don't have the ways to do that. And then when you look at the different tunnels in the Great Pyramid, how it lines up with the planting star and all kinds of things. Things that we just in the last couple of hundred years figured out. So I do believe that this was built by the world that perished. And again, they weren't primitive man living in a cave going ugga bugga. I believe they were very, very advanced. And this is why God destroyed them, because the intent of their heart, the Bible says, was only evil continually. The book of Genesis tells us. So using their technology for wickedness, not for good. And another thing, the ark that Noah built, amazing technology to build a boat that size. Again, that would have been impossible up to just a few hundred years ago, 1,000 years ago. We just didn't have that kind of technology. The rate of decay was different. Otherwise, one end of the boat would have been rotted out before he finished the other end. The rate of decay, the size of the nose holes in the dinosaurs indicate there was a different composition of nitrogen and oxygen. So we don't know all these things, but I believe that it did not come from aliens, but I believe it came from God's creation concerning Adam and Eve, his infinite wisdom, him communicating with God, but God eventually having to destroy mankind because of using that against the purposes of God. Hope that helps.
Did a pretty good job explaining that all. It was great. I think that the confusion, Mike, with people lies in understanding something that's extraterrestrial versus something demonic that's interdimensional.
Well, yeah, and I do believe that. I do believe demons can do all kinds of really gnarly things.
And I think that when we understand the levels of heaven and heaven itself and transcending from heaven to earth, that we have to look at it. Chuck Missler does a great rendition of demons and things in the spiritual realm being more interdimensional than, quote, extraterrestrial. So hopefully that gives people a better understanding. Chuck Missler does Learn the Bible in 24 Hours, where he goes through some of the exact things that Mike just gave his thoughts on, that might help with understanding the difference between aliens and demons and spiritual things of that nature. So,
yeah, and I believe when the rapture comes, I believe the demonic world is going to be very active. The Bible says a strong delusion is sent upon the world that they believe a lie. And I believe that demonic activity is going to be one of those things that help sells it to the world. So,
hopefully that helps. We can talk for an entire hour and a half just on that specific subject, but we're going to move on. Mike, I know that downstairs they found that clip that we were talking about earlier in the program.
Yes.
In regards to Joe Biden and him announcing his quid pro quo and incriminating himself on a hot mic, and the reporter setting it up beforehand with his indictment with the Ukrainian people. I don't know if you want to go to that now, but it's ready for us.
Well, I think the thing that we have to look at here is this is what they impeached Donald Trump over, allegedly. They had no real proof. It was all made up, just like the Russian collusion thing, which was all made up by Hillary Clinton, bought and paid for that dossier by her. So it was all made up. So you have now this thing with Trump. Oh, he, you know, and it's interesting. They never mentioned, if you notice, they never mentioned during the whole election that he was impeached by the Democratic House of Representatives. By the way, they lost their majority control. They still have more, but they don't. They just can't do a sweep now. You have to, I think, what is it, 218?
218, I think.
You have to have, and they don't have that anymore. So they got their little wings clipped pretty good. But here's the point. They never mentioned it during the election. Why is that? Because Joe Biden is guilty of it. Now, rather than making accusations like they did against Donald Trump, Joe Biden admits what he did, and it didn't go unnoticed by the Ukrainian government, which is now indicting Joe Biden. Now, this is a real fearful thing, friends, because depending on what happens, depends on whether Kamala Harris will actually be the president if Joe Biden is awarded the presidency. And this, to me, should be of great concern, because Kamala Harris is a far-left communist loon. And that's the nicest thing I can say.
And if
look at her voting record, if you don't believe me.
And if she becomes president, who's her vice president? Make sure everyone understands.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi.
So
that's,
you got
a double
real,
duo.
Yeah, you got him. But, you know, when you listen to this, he actually, this is what quid pro quo is. It is illegal. And the investigating, the prosecuting attorney was investigating Hunter Biden in the money laundering scheme through the gas oil thing. We'll just play the tape. You can listen to it. Play it.
Democrat presidential candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden finds himself in more hot water this week. Just confirmed, a Ukrainian court ordered Joe Biden to be formally listed in a criminal case. The crime? The alleged firing of Ukraine's former prosecutor general, Viktor Shokin, in exchange for dropping an investigation into Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and the company for which he was a board member, Burisma Oil. Shokin formally called for an investigation into his firing back in February of 2020, claiming the Ukrainian government at the time relieved Shokin of his post in exchange for $1 billion in loan guarantees promised by Biden. A bribe Biden himself admitted to doing.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. You got fired.
But at the time Shokin called for this case back in February, the courts listed one of the defendants as an unnamed American, an individual widely understood to be Joe Biden, Obama's Ukraine point man. But Biden was never formally named. Now, the courts have ruled it is improper to conceal Biden's name and that there is sufficient evidence to proceed with an investigation. The ruling cannot be appealed. Another key development in this story is the release of a series of telephone conversations that has garnered major questions. Andrei Derkach, a member of parliament in Ukraine, in a press conference Tuesday, released what he says appear to be voice recordings of then-Secretary of State John Kerry, Vice President Joe Biden, and then-President of Ukraine Poroshenko, discussing the Burisma case and discussing the removal of Viktor Shokin. Neither Kerry, Biden, nor Poroshenko have affirmed the verity of these recordings. The recordings appear to have been leaked from government officials and whistleblowers, but are currently being verified. Ukrainian President Zelensky stated he anticipates more developments over the course of the summer and says the case could qualify as high treason. Candidate Biden has yet to respond to this latest development. Chanel Vian, One America News, The White House.
And that is the rest of the story. Now, you know, it's really sad that CBS, ABC, NBC,
CNN, the alphabet soup,
all the alphabet soup didn't tell the American people about this.
Fox News didn't either.
Yeah. And yet we actually have the whole video that we put up on Facebook to Every Man an Answer, where he's saying, yeah, I told them if they didn't fire that guy, that they're not going to get their $1 billion. Well, that's quid pro quo. And that was putting pressure on another government to fire their prosecuting attorney that was investigating Hunter Biden. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, friends, hold on to your car keys. We're in for a ride in the next few months. Now, going back to our list of questions. What's our next question?
Our next question is from Raquel Brooks, which says, when the Bible speaks about the church, for the instance in regards to the rapture, is that everyone who goes to heaven, a.k.a. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Calvinists, all believers in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
No, because Paul warned. He said, beware, because in the last days they're going to come preaching another Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness Jesus is Michael the Archangel. The Mormon Jesus is Satan's brother. And when Mormons say, our Father which art in heaven, do you know who they're praying to? If you're a Mormon, you better check this out. You're praying to Adam. Yes, the one that fell in the Garden of Eden. They believe that Adam was then deified, became God. And when Jesus was praying to his Father in heaven, he was praying to Adam, not the God that we find in Isaiah 44, where God says, I am the only God, and besides me, there is no other. Because in the Mormon ascension, if you will, into godhood, every good Mormon, sealed in the temple, paid your tithes, all the requirements, you will become a god yourself someday over your own planet. By the way, not in the Book of Mormon, never found anywhere, even inclinating that in the Bible. So there's another Jesus. You have the Mormon Jesus. You have the Jehovah's Witness Jesus. You have the Middle Eastern Jesus. I'm Jesus. You're Jesus. We're all Jesuses. Well, that's kind of...
Well, that's what the New Age says. You can attain your own height of spirituality.
So this is where the problems come from. So when the rapture comes, no, it's just not because you say, oh, I believe in Jesus. You know, that could be somebody that lives in San Diego. I don't know. But I can tell you this, only those that truly believe and have accepted Jesus Christ, God's only Son, as Savior, are going in the rapture, period. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian couldn't have some weird doctrine. But what it does mean, if you don't get who Jesus Christ is right, the rest doesn't make any difference. If you don't know, that's why in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, he shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That's who Jesus is. He's not just a really great guy. He's not Satan's brother. He's not Michael the Archangel. He's God. That's what Matthew chapter 1 is about. Now get out of your New World Version Bible. That thing's a mess. In fact, New World Version Bible after 2013, 10% less words than the New World Versions before 2013. I guess you call it heresy light, I guess. Whatever it is, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's not up to a bunch of translators saying, oh, well, let's just take away 10% of the words. Nope. Busted. You can't do that. And so again, when you don't get who Jesus Christ is right, and you say he's Michael the Archangel, you've got problems that every other bunny trail you're going to go down, everything you're going to look at the Word of God is going to lead you to the wrong conclusion. So no longer it's by grace we're saved. Now it's getting out and knocking on those doors, doing a lot of religious stuff, wearing blue, selling flowers in airport, wearing orange, eating only organically grown food, and waxing your dog regularly. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Because we don't go to heaven because we're good. We go to heaven because Jesus Christ is good. And always remember that, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, religion never offers you that child-father relationship. Religion offers you, get out there, work hard, and you just might make it. True gospel is that Jesus forgave our sins. It's not by works of righteousness on my own, but what God has done for me, and I have put on his righteousness like you would put on a winter coat. And because we believe in him, that means put all your faith, hope, and trust in him. As it says in John 3:16, you'll have everlasting life. Ain't that what you need? When the day that you breathe your last, isn't that what you need? And if you get to heaven and somebody says, well, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, I've done the best I can. It's too late to do anything about it then. Well, I'm a member of the church, a good standing of the good. That's who I am. won't buy anything on Judgment Day. It depends on your personal relationship with Jesus. And so I just want to invite you again. If you've never just bowed your head and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I just ask you to forgive me, and I want to be your child. And whatever time I have left on this planet, I want to serve you. You can be born again. And that's what the message is. Any last thoughts, Shannon?
I think that we need to remember the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away, which indicates that not everyone who says they're a believer is truly a believer.
Amen. So being about your Father's business, check us out Facebook to Every Man an Answer. Check us out csnradio.com. And again, catch us Sunday morning here at the River Christian Fellowship on CSN 10:30 Mountain Time. Or if you're here in the Southern Idaho area, we'd love to see you here at 10 o'clock. You will learn God's word.
That's true.
Promise you. Have a blessed, safe weekend. Remember, Jesus is coming soon. Keep looking up. God bless you. Good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.